With very few days before Pesach, we want to be ready for the moment where I can go out of my slavery. Now, Pesach, even though it's called the holiday of freedom, the holiday of matzahs, the holiday of... It has so many names. Really, the biblical name is Chag HaMatzot, not Chag Pesach. Even though it says in the Torah the word Pesach, but really it's called Chag HaMatzot, the holiday of matzah, which in short, matzah represents me being humble, and the fact that I don't have any leaven, any chametz, it represents me nullifying my ego, my existence, my arrogance, my yeshut, my selfness. This is the general idea between one and the other, is that I need to know how to lower my ego constantly. We mentioned before that Pesach is the time where I go out of my slavery. Slavery is not me carrying bricks, rather that I'm slaved to anything in the physical world. And we mentioned so many times, no need to really repeat it over and over, but some people are slaves to severe things. In our generation, they wouldn't call it slavery, because then you're going to get all sorts of human rights organizations to go against what you're saying. So in this generation, they call it addiction. And we all have some type of an addiction. Some people, the addiction is severe. It can be addiction to drugs or alcohol and gambling and many other severe things, which the majority of the world are addicted to drugs. They just don't acknowledge that what they're consuming is drugs, but a very large amount of people in the world are consuming chemicals for whatever reason, and they get addicted to that. Doesn't matter right now if it's helping them or not helping them, it doesn't really matter. It's irrelevant if it does. The fact is that they have a dependency on it. That's called an addiction. And an addiction, in the more correct way, is a slavery. I'm slave to something. Now, this is a severe addiction, and there's also little addictions. We mentioned that food can be addiction, and my phone, and Facebook, and so many things. And people, they have all these dependencies. And really, to know when I'm not dependent on something is take it away. Let's see how you react. We thought of here having a box in the entrance of the building. Please deposit your phone. You can't have your phone for the next 3 hours when you're here. I don't know how many people will be able to figure to handle that. You know, probably it will be like something. Sometimes I have to do something with my hands. So, but nevertheless, it's very hard for us to control desires and needs and dependencies on things. So you can take it to many different levels what these addictions can be. But when I'm not able to control myself, then I'm considered a slave. And the real freedom is when I'm not a slave. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he came down from the mountain, then there's a big question. What did Moshe Rabbeinu bring from the mountain? You ask any individual, they'll tell you. He brought down the Torah. Okay, that's correct. But he brought something more profound. He brought freedom. He brought the power of being free. And when you question that, you're saying, oh yeah, how? Well, follow the Torah, you'll be free. Yeah, but the Torah looks like the most not free thing. So many rules, so many prohibitions, so many things to do or not to do. Where's the freedom here? So the main part that Moshe Rabbeinu brought down from the mountain is the power for me to be free. I need to make a very quick analogy in my life. What I'm addicted to. And the only way of doing it is if I'm humble. If I have any type of ego or any type of self-worth thoughts, then I will not see my faults. Now, Hashem is very kind, so He puts around me a lot of people that will point out my faults, just that I get upset at them. Because a person will tell me that I'm lazy, I will get upset. Why are you calling me lazy? Another person will tell me that I have an issue with my anger, I'll get upset at them. Why are you telling me I have an issue with anger? I'm fine. You make me upset. I don't have an issue with anger. So We just read yesterday the parasha that starts the month of Nisan, Parashat Vayikra. And usually Parashat Vayikra will be in the beginning of the month of Nisan. And the first word of the parasha is holding in it the entire, so to say, energy of the book. So we have here the first parasha is usually the first parasha is the name of the entire book. So now we're reading the entire book of Vayikra. So the first parasha of the of book of Vayikra is Vayikra. And same thing with the previous one. The book is called Shmot, and the first parasha is Shmot. We need to know that also the name of the parasha in the book contains in it the, so to say, the energy or the secret of the entire book. So in this book, it's called the book of Vayikra, that he has called out, or you can translate it as he read or will read. But nevertheless, if you look at the word Vayikra, the Aleph is a very small Aleph. You can look at it either in the actual Torah or look in the Chumash, you'll see the Aleph is very, very small. Which, there's many questions why the Aleph is small. The Aleph is small for many reasons, but one of the reasons is because to signify that Moshe Rabbeinu was very humble. Because when, if you read in the Torah, it says, Vayikra Hashem el Moshe. Hashem had called Moshe. I don't know, lately, I didn't hear Hashem calling me lately. Actually, I never heard Him calling me ever. I don't know anyone that can come and say, oh, Hashem calls me. He has WhatsApp too. Some people, they're not well connected to their source, and they think that Hashem is calling them all the time. But nevertheless, Hashem doesn't call us. You have to be in a very high level that Hashem will call you. And Moshe Rabbeinu was in that level, that Hashem actually called him. And it says, Vayikra Hashem el Moshe. Now, there's a story, it's not a story, it's a reality, but we read it in the Midrash, that says that Hashem had called Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was writing the Sefer Torah, he didn't like the idea that it says, Vayikra Hashem el Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu says, you're calling me? What am I? I'm your buddy? You're calling me? Remove the Aleph. I don't want you to write it with an Aleph. And Hashem says, I can't remove the Aleph, because every time in the Torah, when Hashem is calling a wicked person, that it says Vayikar, without the Aleph. When Hashem called Bilam, when Hashem called Paro, and many other places, you see that when Hashem is referring to a wicked person, it says Vayikar. So Hashem tells Moshe, I can't write on you Vayikar. You're not a wicked person. I want to write Vayikra. Moshe Rabbeinu had a hard time with accepting it. He's like, I'm not your buddy. I'm your servant. You are my God. And it's not appropriate that you call me like, well, like, hey, Moshe, come. So the negotiation went on. And at the end, Moshe won. And he said, okay, so make the Aleph small. That way it's not going to be so noticeable. So one can learn from that. Moshe Rabbeinu was very humble. Needless to say, because he was so humble, he was able to reach to such a high level of prophecy. And he ended up becoming the individual that received the Torah, only because he was humble. There's another place in a book called Divrei Hayamim, when it's talking about Adam HaRishon. And when it's talking, when it has the name Adam, the Aleph is a big Aleph. And this is referring to that Adam HaRishon had a little bit of a ego. Why? Because it says in Divrei Hayamim, in that book, it says the greatness of Adam HaRishon, his Yetzir Kapav, Hashem created him with his own hands. And he was the first one, and you know, he gave him a little bit of an ego there. Oh, I'm the first one. And that was his downfall. That's where he failed. So the small Aleph of Moshe Rabbeinu is being humble. The big Aleph of Adam HaRishon is being a little bit ego and arrogant. I'm not Chas V'Shalom saying Lashon HaRa about Adam, but that's what it represents in me. And that was what caused Adam HaRishon to fail. That he had a little bit of like, oh, I did it. You didn't do anything. Hashem did it. You just happened to be there. So in order for me to really understand my faults, I can't have any type of arrogance and saying, no, I'm totally fine. Most people, they don't see their own faults. And when they look in the mirror, they think they see the symbol of perfection. So Hashem is very kind, and He sends a lot of people around us to tell you where your faults are. But that doesn't always work, because there is ego there. I need to know how to humble myself, to be able to recognize in me my weaknesses. And this is the avodah that I need to do now for the next week and a half. I need to take myself aside, out of any distractions, and to sit with myself like that with a piece of paper and a pen, and say, okay, let me write down now on one side of the paper all the good character traits that I have and the good positive things that I have, and on the left side write all the negative ones. I want to concentrate on the negative ones, but in order for me not to fall into depression and sadness and low self-esteem, I need to also see that I also have a lot of good things. There's no such a thing that a person only has bad things. Everybody has a good balance. You have a lot of good character traits. You can be very loving, very caring, very generous, very thoughtful, and much more. But you're always going to have a few bad things. And everybody has it. Doesn't mean you're bad, doesn't mean you're mean, doesn't mean that your parents failed. It doesn't mean anything. It just means that that's what you need to refine. Everybody gets a job. We have a custom in our house that our house is usually very messy. You know, you have a lot of kids, then that equals a messy house. And not only that, a lot of kids, our house is like a train station, so there's always a mess. So, and we, every now and then, sometimes once a day, sometimes 10 times a day, we form the kids and we, okay, we had to fix up the house. And I start giving jobs. You do this, you do that, you do this, you do that, and always it will be one of the kids that doesn't do anything, and I'm like, why aren't you doing anything? Well, you didn't tell me what to do. And I'm like, well, it doesn't matter what to do, just do something. No, you have to tell me what to do. So, and some of the kids will come and says, what's my job? Okay, your job is the living room. Your job is the kitchen. Same thing here, Hashem gave us jobs. And He gave your job, you deal with anger. Your job, you deal with jealousy. Your job, you deal with depression. Every person has to deal with something. It doesn't mean you are bad, or that you are a bad product, chas v'shalom. But don't look to blame it. My parents, my childhood, my background. Hashem gave each and every one of us a job. And He says, I want you to refine the midah of anger, and you to refine the midah of the attribute of patience. But I was told by my mom when I was a little kid, you're so smart, you're so good, you're so handsome, you're so this. And even my mom is not even a Polish mom. Just usually moms are telling their kids how perfect they are. So most people grow up with the, of course, I'm God's gift to the world. So I have to be a little bit practical here, and I have to take a piece of paper. I like working with papers and pens. And I write down, all my good character traits. And I need to know where is my strong point. And I need to know that, and I need to acknowledge that, and I need to nourish that. And I, chas v'shalom, cannot take credit for that. I can't say, I'm so courteous and I'm so charitable and I'm so generous. And no, Hashem is allowing you to do that, because if Hashem wants, He turns the switch off and you lose all your qualities. But more, this is just to make sure that I have some type of confidence to deal with a long list of the bad character traits that I have. And I urge you, do it with a list. You can't do it in your mind, because it doesn't work well. I just gave you before the example that when I went on the journey of stop lying, it was with a list. I had to look at the paper and to read and to have it in front of my face. You know, I don't know if you notice, there's a custom by Hasidim when they go to visit a grave of a tzaddik, is that they write a note. And then they go into the grave and they read the note and they rip it and throw it into the grave area. So I once went to a grave of a tzaddik, and I see everybody writing notes, and they told me, okay, write a note. I'm like, write a note? Why do I need to write a note? Well, you write down your requests, your prayers, whatever you want, and then you read it. It's like, what? I'm just going to say it out loud. But nevertheless, there is the concept that when I write something down, I bring the concept into the existence of the world. That's one of the reasons why you write a note when you go into a grave of a tzaddik. Because you don't want to leave it in your thoughts, you don't want to leave it in your heart, you want to bring it into the world. First of all, and most importantly, you're taking it out of your possession. That's why a lot of people, they have the custom in the grave of a tzaddik to rip the paper. Because the ripping the paper is like, got rid of the problem. It's not my problem anymore. So now it's Hashem's problem. Same thing here. When you're doing things in your mind, doesn't have the same effect. When you have it in front of you, like a list, you're able to read it. You're able to read it again and read it again, and you actually put it in existence. When you're saying in my mind, okay, let me just think, okay, I'm lazy and I have a problem with anger. Okay, let me work on it. It's not going to work. You have to put it down in paper that you can see it and read it 10, 20, 30 times and understand that is my weakness. This is where I'm stuck in Mitzrayim. This is where I'm battling. And it can be big things and it can be small things. And you have to write everything. Even being on Facebook for 3 hours, that's Egypt. That's Mitzrayim. It's not normal being on Facebook for 3 hours. There's nothing to do there for 3 hours. I don't even know why people hang out there so long. Go, post your status, put your picture, read some messages, watch a few ridiculous videos that don't make sense, and move on. But people are like, it's like they're hypnotized with the, you know, I call it this syndrome, because the finger goes like this.
Finger world.
Yeah, and you know, Facebook is like Gehinnom. It doesn't end. It's like a pit. It goes down and down and down and down, and there's no end to it. And you know, at some point, it's the same junk. I mean, in the beginning, the first 2 minutes, okay, so you see the new nonsense. Fine, I'll give you 5 minutes, 10 minutes. But then after a while, it's repeating. It's the same video, the same comment, the same junk, like, come on. So, and people say, no, how do you say, networking, no, you're not. I'm learning Torah. No, you're not. You don't learn Torah on Facebook. I'm sorry to tell you. I also put videos on Facebook. You can't really learn Torah. The videos that we put on Facebook is to get your attention, that you can go now to a real place of Torah. And at least that if you're in that place, then instead of your mind being filled with junk, at least a little bit of Torah. So the point is that in my list, I have to put all the things that put me under some type of a limitation. And the test, if somebody puts me out of limitations, put yourself now on a vacation for a whole week. Let's see if you can go a whole week without your emails. Just yesterday, I spoke with somebody and he's having some marital problems. I said, why don't you take a 3-week vacation? Come here to Israel. We have a yeshiva. Learn with us every day. Pray with us. And, you know, go to the holy graves. Go to some holy sites. Clear your mind. So he says, okay, but my wife is not going to let me do such a thing. And I was like, why? He's like, well, you know, she might let me, but I have to email her every day. So I said, so what's the point? The point is, don't email her every day. So you can have a little break. So both of you can think a little bit if you want to, how you want to address your relationship. But most people, when it comes to their, we'll call it now an addiction, the test here is, let's see how long you can go without it. Let's see how you can go. If you can go a week without your phone, then you can comfortably say, the phone, I'm not addicted to it. If you can go a week without Facebook, a week without cookies, a week without anything, let's see how long you can go out with anything that puts you under some type of limitations. Then you see if you're dependent on it or not. If you don't need it for a whole week, then you're not dependent on it. It means you can control it. But most people, they're not willing to admit, oh, I'm dependent on this, this and that. You can be dependent also on little things like a coffee. I have to have my cup of coffee. No, you don't. You don't have to. You're actually going to be probably doing much better if you don't have that cup of coffee. And if you enjoy the actual coffee, okay, so let's say you have one cup and not 7 cups. No, but I enjoy. So what if you enjoy? It doesn't mean that you have to. So I want to put things in perspective, because Pesach is the, you know, always Pesach falls around the time of tax season. Because taxes, I mean, at least in America, also in Israel, it's around the April and March, it's the time when you do taxes. It's when you sit down and, okay, let me see what's going on with the business. How much money I made, how much money I didn't make, how much money I would want to make, what was my expenses. So you do the same thing in the spiritual level. You do a tax season. Let me write down, what did I do the whole year? What am I not doing? What is limiting me? Because at the end of the day, the bottom line here is we all want to have one thing, and it's called happiness. At the end of the day, we all wish for ourselves just to be happy. I mean, we now will go after many other things that we think that will cause us to be happy. So I pray to have a lot of money so I can buy a nice car or beautiful clothes or vacation. Why? Because I want to be happy. And whatever it is, we are a creature that is looking for happiness. So the happiness is not coming from a car or a vacation or anything else. The happiness is coming because I am free. I'm not bound to anything. I'm not limited to anything. I'm not stressed under any type of pressure. So I'm happy. So the ultimate happiness is freedom. How do I get freedom? Is that I go out of my limitation. How do I go out of my limitation? I have to first acknowledge what is my limitation. To be able to say, okay, I'm limited to this, 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 and that. This is the first step that we need to do. Next time, next class, we'll talk how I'm going out of my limitation. First, I have to recognize what is my limitation. And if I'm so sunk deep into this klipa that I'm in denial, then I will never know what's my limitation. I need to be mature, I need to be humble, and I need to be responsible to saying, who am I kidding? I can't live without my cup of coffee. I can't live without this daily show or whatever it is. I mean, you use your own imagination. Everybody has their own addiction and their own weaknesses. Some people go next to the bakery. They're like hypnotized walking into the bakery. Okay, so I also like cookies. So eat it on Shabbat. Why have to have 17 cookies every day? And again, I'm using the same examples, but you use your own imagination. What is my addiction? Since people don't like the harsh word of addiction, we'll call it slavery. Call it however you want. But I don't want to be slave to anything. When I became observant, then the first thing that I applied is I didn't want to be dependent on anything. I used to smoke cigarettes 3 packs a day. I was, so to say, dependent on so many things. And the first thing that I applied, I didn't put a yarmulke on my head. I didn't go to shul. It took me 3 years to become really observant. What I applied in the beginning, I used to do the minimum. I only didn't eat meat and dairy. I used to put tefillin on. I used to do very little mitzvot because I wouldn't be able to handle it. What I did work on is starting to get rid of all the junk. And the first thing was, excuse me? Yeah, but I said in order for me to become observant, I can't come to the observant world with dependencies and first I need to get rid of the junk. Now I'll have a clear mind to start applying it to serving Hashem. So the first thing that I started doing is getting rid of all these dependencies. And I said, I can't be addicted to cigarettes. I can't be addicted to coffee. I cannot be addicted to this and to that. And I started putting myself on a spiritual, emotional, and physical diet. No, you can't. You can't. And it took me a long time to bring to a point that I know how to control myself. That I don't have to jump on something that I see right away. And that can take many years to know how to control this I want. So Pesach is the time that you get the power to jump over the obstacle. Because eventually I want to be a master of my own domain. I want to control the I want. What are you, 3 years old now? No, I don't want to be subject to I want. Okay, so what if you want? Big deal. So put yourself under control. So Pesach is the time that I get the power for that. So needless to say, that I need to prepare the right way. Preparing the right way is I need to first acknowledge what's the problem. Once I acknowledge the problem, then we start fixing it. So Bezat Hashem, today we're talking about that you have to acknowledge what is the problem. And Bezat Hashem, next class, we'll start dealing with how do I actually approach it. But for now, take a piece of paper, make yourself a favor, sit down with yourself quietly, start writing down all the good things that you see in yourself. And you have to be truthful and honest here, also don't exaggerate too much. I'm so great, I'm so... But you want to write the negative parts so you can start negating. Okay, this is hard to deal with, this is easy to deal with, let me focus on this. So you can start building your path into a growth that comes Pesach. It's a boost. You go out of your slavery. This is not a holiday just to eat matzahs and crackers. This is not the holiday is the point of the year where I can realize where I'm stuck and I can jump out of it. And that's where I get the power on Pesach. That's why right after Pesach we start counting the Omer. Why? So I can start growing. Now from here I'm evil. Now even let me start growing and growing and growing and growing. Bezat Hashem, now we have some homework to do. The rest we're going to do. And the rest, we have another less than two weeks till Pesach. We're going to, Bezat Hashem, learn a lot so we can apply how to spiritually grow. Bezrat Hashem, we should merit to come to Pesach all prepared so we can experience a real freedom. And real freedom will manifest into our life to be free and happy. Bezrat Hashem, have a kosher and happy Pesach.